Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Stop Doing That TN Self-Sabotage and Demand Your Life Back is a 2019 self-help book by Gary John Bishop, the Scottish-born personal development author also known for Unfuck Yourself. The book examines why people repeatedly undermine goals, relationships, health, money, and personal confidence even when they consciously want better outcomes. Bishop frames self-sabotage not as laziness or weakness, but as a set of subconscious patterns built from earlier interpretations of self, others, and life. His purpose is to push readers beyond familiar self-improvement habits such as positive thinking, affirmations, and short-term motivation, arguing that these often fail because they leave deeper assumptions untouched. Written in a blunt, confrontational style, the book combines personal responsibility, practical introspection, and philosophical coaching. Its central promise is not comfort, but recognition if readers can identify the hidden conclusions that organize their behavior. They can begin acting from a chosen future, rather than from inherited psychological defaults. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, self-sabotage as a subconscious pattern rather than a conscious choice. Bishop's central contribution is his insistence that self-sabotage is usually not a deliberate decision to ruin one's life. People may consciously want a healthier relationship, a stronger career, or more disciplined habits, yet still behave in ways that contradict those goals. The book explains this contradiction by locating self-sabotage beneath ordinary intention. Old conclusions, emotional defenses, and repeated interpretations of experience become a kind of automatic operating system. The person may experience the result as bad luck, inconsistency, fear, procrastination, or poor judgment, but Bishop treats these as surface expressions of a deeper pattern. This matters because it changes the remedy. If self-sabotage is only a failure of willpower, then the solution is more discipline. If it is a subconscious drive toward familiar outcomes, then discipline alone will often collapse under stress. Bishop's approach asks readers to look for the hidden payoff in staying stuck, especially the comfort of certainty. Even painful patterns can feel safer than unfamiliar growth. By making self-sabotage intelligible rather than mysterious, the book shifts attention from blaming behavior to uncovering the machinery that keeps reproducing it. Secondly, the three saboteurs that shape identity, relationships, and expectations. A major framework in the book is Bishop's idea that people carry three core saboteurs, or hidden conclusions, about themselves, other people, and life itself. These are not presented as casual opinions, but as foundational interpretations that filter experience. A person's self-directed saboteur might involve feeling inadequate, insignificant, or unable to cope. The conclusion about others may lead someone to expect rejection, betrayal, indifference, or control. The conclusion about life may generate an assumption that things are unfair, unsafe, disappointing, or always about to fall apart. The significance of this model is that it links very different problems to a common structure: career hesitation, relationship conflict, defensive reactions, and recurring anxiety may look unrelated, yet Bishop argues that they can be organized by the same underlying beliefs. The framework also explains why surface-level confidence can be unstable. A person may say they are capable, but if their deeper conclusion says otherwise, behavior will eventually follow the deeper script. The book's practical demand is therefore diagnostic readers must identify the specific sentences or assumptions that repeatedly define their reality. Naming them does not automatically dissolve them, but it makes them available for responsibility and change. Thirdly, the point of experience as the lens formed by early interpretation. Bishop uses the idea of a point of experience to describe the personal lens through which people interpret themselves and the world. This lens is not simply a list of memories. It is the meaning a person constructed from formative experiences, especially the conclusions that became emotionally convincing before they were ever consciously examined. The book's emphasis is important because two people can go through similar events and form very different life patterns from them. What governs later behavior is not only what happened, but what the person came to believe the experience proved. This concept helps explain why self-sabotage can feel so natural. When an old interpretation becomes the basis for how life appears, the person does not experience it as interpretation at all. It feels like reality. Bishop challenges readers to distinguish between events and the inherited meaning attached to them. This does not require denying pain or pretending the past had no effect. Instead, it requires seeing that the past continues to exert power when its conclusions remain unquestioned. The point of experience is therefore both limiting and revealing. It shows why old reactions persist, and it identifies where conscious responsibility must begin. Fourthly, why positive thinking is inadequate without ownership of deeper beliefs. The book is sharply critical of self-help practices that rely on optimism without confronting the beliefs that govern behavior. Bishop does not reject the usefulness of constructive thought, but he argues that positive thinking becomes weak when it is layered over unresolved self-sabotaging conclusions. If a person repeats encouraging statements while still operating from a deeper assumption of inadequacy or distrust, the positive statement has little structural force. It may provide temporary relief, but it does not alter the pattern that shapes choices under pressure. This criticism gives the book a more confrontational position within personal development. Bishop wants readers to stop using inspiration as a substitute for ownership. Ownership, in this context, means recognizing one's participation in maintaining patterns, even when those patterns originated in experiences one did not choose. The distinction is ethically delicate but central to the book. Responsibility is not the same as blame. Bishop's argument is that freedom begins when a person can acknowledge the way they continue to protect, repeat, and justify a familiar identity. Without that acknowledgement, techniques such as goal setting, affirmations, and motivation risk becoming another cycle of temporary improvement followed by regression. Lastly, the authentic pivot from inherited patterns to future-based action. The book's constructive method is the authentic pivot, a shift from reacting out of past-based assumptions to acting in alignment with a deliberately chosen future. Bishop's focus is not merely on imagining a better life, but on using that future as a practical standard for present behavior. This makes the concept more demanding than ordinary visualization. The reader is asked to identify what belongs to the old pattern and what must be removed, altered, or refused in order to live from a different identity. Bishop often frames transformation less as adding inspiration and more as stripping away what no longer fits. The authentic pivot also changes how progress is measured. Instead of asking whether one feels ready, healed, or confident, the reader asks whether a given action expresses the future being created. This is useful because feelings may continue to reflect the old point of experience for some time. The pivot, therefore, gives behavior a different anchor. It does not promise a struggle-free life, and it does not erase subconscious resistance overnight. Its value lies in creating a repeatable orientation. The past may explain the pattern, but it does not have to define the next move. In conclusion, Stop Doing That Shit is best suited for readers who recognize recurring patterns of avoidance, overreaction, procrastination, relationship conflict, or anxiety around success, and who are willing to examine their own role without being handled gently. It is less appropriate for readers seeking a highly clinical treatment plan, a trauma-sensitive workbook, or a step-by-step behavioral program. Its practical benefit lies in giving readers a clear language for self-sabotage, hidden conclusions, three saboteurs, point of experience, ownership, and authentic pivot. These concepts can help a reader move from vague frustration to more precise self-observation. Intellectually, the book stands out because it treats personal change as an inquiry into interpretation rather than a simple exercise in motivation. Compared with many self-help books that emphasize positivity, habit stacking, or productivity systems, Bishop's work is more confrontational and existential. He is interested in the assumptions that make people return to familiar suffering even after they know what would be better for them. The book's blunt tone is part of its appeal, and its limitation it can cut through excuses for some readers while feeling overly harsh to others. Its distinctive value is that it refuses to flatter the reader. Instead, it asks for responsibility at the level where repeated behavior is actually produced. If you would like to support Gary John Bishop, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.